utilize your credit card. Jack has a gold card.
Pack up my house and move out of this damn state.
But it's Q-Tip's birthday today.
Who's Q-Tip? Some rapper. I just heard it on the news. I thought you'd be excited. It's funny because the guy at my old job, mid-60s and had, like, poofy white hair. We called him Q-Tip. I jumped in the car, I started it up, and it then came over the radio. He says, it's Q-Tip's birthday today from Tribe Called Quest. And rapper, producer, that's about all I heard. So I immediately grabbed a mic in excitement to share that news. Oh man, look at this stuff. Sweet. Well, happy birthday, Q-Tip. Yeah, it's getting better the further south I get, but I bet you I had like an inch on my truck. That's a piece of. Very disappointingly. But, yeah, wow, an inch. We didn't, barely nothing here. Just, it's covering the windshield. Just barely. It's mostly rainy, wet. Who was that? Go ahead.
K8RUH. Good morning, gentlemen. The weather report from the south here is just rain. Looks like there's a little bit of frozen stuff falling out of the sky, but there is nothing on the ground, nothing on the car.
It's a stark difference coming from where I just was. I'm just passing 26 right now, and it's barely even a dusting. So I'm hoping that by the time I get to work, this stuff's gone. It's supposed to turn to rain for the rest of the day, though, right? Which means ice and people not driving.
Every 6 weeks sabbatical where I rent a car and go run my errands for the day. I gotta go out and miss stuff. I really picked a bad day. Good morning, WESBY.
But we should be okay with that. I don't think, the worst thing is when you get these storms like this, all the trees and the wires and everything get wet and then they freeze and then, oh my God, that's a nightmare. But I don't think we're going to get that unless it dips a little colder than they predicted.
Yeah, I don't think they're calling for any ice. I think the precipitation is supposed to end around noon, supposedly, with a high of like 41. So I don't think we're going to run into that problem. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I think that was Donald in there. I heard most of yours on your double. Not a good day to go run errands. Run a truck. Run an SUV. Something beefy. And Sean, I didn't catch the beginning of yours. You doubled with Donald. So I'll pass it over to Donald, and then Donald give it to Sean.
Not as fast on a trigger finger, I guess, as I used to be. Anyway, yeah, this is depressing because I mentioned that every 6 weeks I rent a vehicle for the day and do all my errands, and I think this is the third Thursday that's happened in the winter months where I've had to go out in weather like this, and I looked and I thought for sure there'd be more snow or something on the ground, but fortunately there isn't. And, yeah, like Anthony said, I guess we'll be in the 40s, so it's all good. But, yeah, this is depressing enough to get me out to come out on the radio and say my piece. Over to you, Sean. Have a good day.
Well, it's interesting because Anthony's down there around 8 Mile, and he said nothing. I'm at 12, and there was, like, windshields were covered, but there was really not much. Roofs were basically, you could tell there was snow. But now I'm up here at 16 Mile, and the roofs are fairly coated. There's still no, you can just tell there's some, a little white poking through on the, in the grass blades. The roofs are fairly consistently covered. So it's weird how you just move a little north, but still nothing. You know, it's still just wet. No, obviously no accumulation. Just the roofs are all notably white up here. Ah, well, we'll be good. I got a package coming in today. It's been on a slow boat, man. I never realized how slow FedEx could be. I always thought of FedEx as the fast ones, you know, when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight. That was their logo. So I always associated them with speed. So I ordered a package, electronics too, so great. I'm going to have a package dropped off in this weather with electronics. Hopefully they packed it well. But man, I'll tell you, it's just been agonizing. It came from California, and then day one it was like, it moved from like one place in California to another. Day two, California, Nevada. Check it on day three. It went from Nevada to New Mexico. I'm like, it was like that every day. You know, it was like a little truck drive. And it's like, oh my God, I've been watching this thing in agony. Dakota. No, Anthony, right?
Yep. I had a package a few weeks ago that was just, I didn't know that it could take that long for a package to get to my house. You know, we're so lucky and so used to Amazon or places having regional facilities that when you have to order something from far away, it's like, you feel like it'll never get here. I was starting to believe I got scammed it took so long, but it was just on the slow boat. Over to you, Dakota.
I've had some packages like that recently, too. Pretty much anything I don't order on Amazon or from DXC takes forever to get to my house. Everything gets held up in the Indianapolis sort facility for USPS. I don't know what it is, but it'll sit there for 2-3 days sometimes, and then it'll move. And then it's got to go to Pontiac, then it's got to go to local. So, there's 5 days from Indy to my house. I don't know why, even though it's, a six-hour drive. And then my Amazon, I don't know if they just don't have the drivers or what, but if I don't order my stuff, at least it's been like this recently, if I don't order my stuff by Wednesday, if I go to order something Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I won't get it until the following Monday. So that's really been driving me nuts because I pay for Prime and it's 5-day delivery if I order it on a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I'm not with Amazon. I don't order a lot of stuff. And now that I'm considered a senior citizen, they dropped the rate to, I think they dropped it like maybe 20, 30 bucks a month per person if you're over 65. So they have like a senior rate now. It's still not enough. But right now I'm sitting in the lobby of my building here, and there are boxes sitting between the entranceway door and the security door, call it a little vestibule, of just unclaimed boxes sitting here. Anybody can walk in the front door and grab them. They won't get into the building because of the security door. But they're told by management, there's a sign that says, do not leave packages here. We are not going to be responsible for them. And there's like 3 packages plus an envelope. And I don't see anything from FedEx right now. So this is probably Amazon stuff. I'm not going to walk over there and look right now. But, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, you have seniors in this building. We actually have people who steal packages. And that's sad. But my go-to is FedEx. And FedEx, everything I order with FedEx, I have insured. And I have to sign for it. And I have to show ID. Or you don't leave the package. You bring it back tomorrow. Sean?
Well, that's the other problem. This package requires signatures, so I've told my wife, but she often doesn't hear them or something. Or I've caught them not even knocking. You know, they just walk up and, I don't know, sometimes they don't, they're not very good either. But geez, I told her, I said, please listen for this. You know, the worst part of this one is I actually, knowing that I wasn't going to be here and a signature was required, I went online about 4 days ago and I changed my delivery to hold at, you know, you could pick a location to hold it at, and then I'd pick it up from there. And, you know, it went through and all that and said may take a couple of days, and it's been more than a couple of days. And now when I log in, it doesn't tell me it's coming to my house. It doesn't tell me it's going there. It just has my address as, like, the destination. You know, there's no indication that I made that change, and I'm not even sure it's coming to my house. I go in to try to set my, you know, the package delivery options, and it says you can no longer set the package delivery options on this package because it's too close, you know. And, but I don't know, I already did this, and it doesn't seem to indicate, so now I don't even know where it's going. I mean, it's just, I'm not real happy with all this stuff. It just seems like delivery's getting worse. I think everybody's getting cutthroat trying to, you know, match Prime. And we're still pretty good down by me as far as the Prime goes. The, some stuff's amazing. I can order some things in the morning and have it in the afternoon. I ordered some coffee just the other day like that. But, you know, I'm 2 miles from the warehouse. Other things overnight, and I can have them in the morning. Some things are like 2 days. But, you know, but I can get almost anything Prime next day or 2 day at the worst. So that problem you're having, Dakota, might be a chicken, pigs, and cows problem. Not really... because you're out there away or something. I don't know, but it doesn't really affect me. I don't know. Anthony, how about you? You still getting good Prime delivery?
No, most of it is still the standard 1 day, 2 day, but I have been noticing, like, the other day I ordered something on maybe a Thursday or Friday, and it didn't arrive till Monday, which I thought was odd. But I don't think I've noticed a lot of occurrences of that, but I haven't bought anything lately that was time sensitive. So, there was just the one item I bought, I think it was actually last week, and it didn't arrive till Monday, which I thought was super weird. Over to you, Dakota.
Hey, DBF. When I bought this house, I was getting same day or overnight delivery on literally everything. And that's usually it's stupid stuff, like I need more bars of soap or shampoo or toothpaste, you know. Stupid stuff I don't want to run to the store, I'll just have it in the morning, deodorant. And yeah, now it's if I don't order by Wednesday at noon, it doesn't show up till Monday. So I don't know what that's all about. Probably like you said, Sean, I'm just in the middle of nowhere. And the cost isn't worth it to make those runs. But for FedEx, I've got UPS My Choice and a FedEx Delivery Manager, whatever the hell it's called. So whenever I have packages that require a signature, I can actually sign on the app for them. So I don't know if you have that or not, but it's definitely worth setting up the account for that exact reason because I'm never home to sign for my stuff. So, and then, you know, you can set up notifications, you can track the driver, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, like I said, with Amazon with me, I actually did sign up for Prime when I moved out here 10 years ago. And I knew the prices were going up from like $100 a year to $120. And I signed up about 8 days before, and so I could beat it. Nope. They contacted me and said, we're adding an additional $20 to your credit card because the price went up. And I said, oh, so I'm not like grandfathered in or anything? Oh, no, no, no. If you did it maybe a month ago, we were going to let it slide. And I said, you know something, just cancel the Prime. Matter of fact, close my account. And I closed out of Amazon for about, I think maybe 4 or 5 years. And then I just signed up with them again probably 3, 4 years ago. And then, like I said, recently they were talking about senior citizen Prime prices, and I still turned them down. For what little bit that I order, I haven't ordered anything in over about a year because it was a year since I had my eye surgery, and I had to get some really dark polarized sunglasses, so I ordered them on Amazon and a couple other things like Nagoya antennas. But, yeah, I just turned off of it, and I just go FedEx now, and I've had good luck with FedEx. And I've been with them probably since the mid-90s, I'd say, when I was working as a racing official full-time. Sean, over to you, because I'm about to time out.
Well, they're a little different, right? You know, because FedEx is simply a package, you know, delivery service, whereas Amazon is a whole ecosystem of shopping and delivery, so... You know, I have FedEx too, but they're not Amazon, not even remotely. And I use Amazon. I use the hell out of Amazon. As a matter of fact, I keep saying I got to use it more, right? Because I do pay for the Prime, and so you know I want to get my money's worth. And you know when I get coffee, when I realize I'm out of coffee, and I ordered it, you know, my last order was some memory sticks that took 2 days actually, but before that was a coffee order, and I realized we were out, and it said, you know, same day delivery if you order within, you know, an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. So I ordered it and had it like a couple 3 hours. That was great. And you know, so, but I got to use it more. There's so many things I could be buying there instead of having to go to the store. I went to the store last night, as a matter of fact, and for about the fifth time at the store, Mrs. Grass's chicken noodle soup, which we love, is gone. It's just the shelves are clear of it. And it's like the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I have not seen Mrs. Grass's soup in the store in probably 5 trips. And so last night, I said, I wonder if I can get that from Amazon. I went online, found, here's 6 packages, you know, for whatever, and, you know, 18 bucks or whatever the heck it was, and I just... and it'll be here today. Why did I think of that before? Idiot! Anthony?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that you can find on Amazon. I end up in that situation every once in a while that I'm always frustrated. Oh, I can't find this. And I go back twice or whatever, and I'm like, why didn't I just order it on Amazon and it'll be here tomorrow? So I run into that often. Over to you, Dakota.
Good morning.
Go ahead, good morning.
MHKTP. I had to watch the grandkid last night, so now I got to take him to school. So I figured I'd join in the rotation and say good morning, everyone. I forget whose rotation it was. Dakota, go ahead.
Well, good morning, Grandpa. You can take my spot because I just backed into my parking spot here at the office, and I got to get in. I played hooky yesterday, so I'm sure I'm going to walk into a mess. But safe travels, everybody. Good talking to all y'all. Donald, be careful out there, and I will catch you guys later. N8DBF.
So, good morning. Take the grandkids to school.
Mr. Walter.
Supposed to be there by 7:30. Hope
you have a great day.
But I need to know, it's been a while since I did this, who gets the tardy? The kids or the grandpa?
Valid point,
and I'm not sure
who's Amazon. You know, Amazon is a shopping and a delivery service. For FedEx, all they do is deliver stuff. So, yeah, if you look at, you know, what Sean's doing, plus, you know, there's him and his, and Mrs. Sean there, the two of them, it's compared to where there's just me, myself, and I. Yeah, there's benefits to Amazon for sure. There's no doubt about it. But for me, eh. And then, Sean, you were mentioning that you went to, did you go to Kroger's that's across the street from me? Because I noticed in that Kroger's a lot of stuff missing. And like today, I have to go over to either Marketplace or someplace else to get the stuff. The Kroger across the street from me, it's like it's disappearing off the shelf. Some of my key items is like, how do they know the stuff I buy is no longer here anymore? And it's like, this is just weird, because I buy a certain coffee creamer, I buy a certain, like, you know, soup or something like you get, and a certain brand, and this stuff is just disappearing off the shelves. And it's like, what's the problem here? And I've talked to management about it, and they say, well, we just can't get it. And I said, is it because Marketplace is getting everything? And that's when I noticed the change, is when Marketplace opened. So it's been a few years. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I go to that Kroger now and again because it's convenient, right? And I haven't noticed anything like that. Although Meijer's up there around the corner, that one's under construction. They're revamping the whole place and dusting it up, and they got all sorts of weirdness going on there. But I just noticed, honestly, the Mrs. Grass's soup's the only thing I've noticed. You know, really missing. Eggs for a while were kind of spicy, but they seem to be back. And everybody knew about that, right? But it's not for the things I buy, at least. But then again, I don't go to there as often. I'll go to either Kroger Marketplace over there on Stevenson or the Meijer's up there on 13 Mile. Those are kind of my go-tos. Anthony, and then Wally, and then back to Donald. Anthony?
Yeah, as of late, when I haven't been able to find something, it's the Kroger by my house is under construction, or it's something silly, one-off, dry goods, something like that, you know, that will eventually come back, or I find it at another Kroger. So I don't know that there's, like, a reoccurring issue or what it is, but I haven't noticed it very often. Over to you, Wally.
Yeah, over here, you guys talking about grocery stores and stock and stuff like that. Over here, you know, they hammer on the Kroger really hard. And most of you guys know where I live, or that general area, and most of them blame the local management. As far as stocking and things go, I know a lot of the stuff is computerized, and you know you have 50 cartons of whatever, and then you're down to 10, supposed to automatic reorder and everything else like that. But I generally believe, like, you know, nowadays, I mean, things are different, but we're not in trouble. And I usually believe it has something to do with local management. Marion, my wife, she was in retail all her life. And just about everything that happened, she worked for one of the big box stores, and just about everything that happened at the store almost always had something to do with the local level. So I'm willing to bet what you guys are seeing, it might be just an isolated incident related just to that one store. Take, for example, what Don was saying about, you know, not being able to get one particular product. I'll bet you if you go to another store, it's probably there, and there's lots of them. That would be a telltale sign, you know, that it's a local issue. I truly believe, you know, that's a lot of it. You know, eggs, of course, we all know the flu, whatever, that messed up the egg business. But, but usually if there's a shortage of something, it's pretty wide. So, let's see. I'm assuming, Don, if I'm wrong, somebody else butt in. KPP.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah, it's me. Well, like I said, the Kroger Marketplace has been open for probably maybe 3 years now. And with this small Kroger that we have across the street, I have across the street from me here, and about a half a mile from Sean's area, it's just, you know, we were wondering at times, because we are a senior campus, it's the only grocery store a lot of these seniors can either walk to, excuse me, or take a short shuttle hop over to get their groceries. And it's just, my coffee is gone, my creamer is gone, and I asked management about it, and they said, well, we ordered it, but we can't get it. And I where's it all go? Is it go to, I mean, I've been noticing these changes since Marketplace opened. He says, well, yeah, they get a lot of stuff, and, you know, they warehouse a lot of stuff. So what you're saying is I got to go to Marketplace. Well, there's one problem. I have a disability, and I don't drive every day, and I'm not going to haul this stuff on a bus. You know, it's going to take two buses to get home. So I, you know, so I just see stuff slowly disappearing, and part of the reason why I order things now on DoorDash for a meal or something, but, you know, it's just, it's, times are changing and things are changing, so I'm going to be checking out because I got to order my Uber to get to Enterprise to go get my car or my vehicle for the day. So everybody have a great day. I'm about to time out. W-8-R-C-Y, and over to Sean. Everybody be safe.
Okie doke. Well, yeah, roads should be good, so be safe. Hopefully you get all your chores knocked out. And, yeah, the Mrs. Grasses thing is everywhere. I've looked for it everywhere. It's just, you'll go to the where they have that box-type soup, and they'll have everyone but that one. So there's definitely something going on with that, which is an individual store, but I would be terrible at that if I had to run a store where I had to keep all those different things. You know, too many balls in the air, I'd definitely be screw that up. So I said, one of my dream jobs is to have a little party store in a resort town. But unless it was just beer, I'd be horrible at keeping the things stocked with the stuff people need. All right, anyhow, I'm just pulling up myself to the to work, and I'm parking, so I'm going to get inside and see what my day brings. I'll be listening, but this will be my last. Go ahead, Anthony. Take care, Wally. W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a good day. I am also doing the same thing. Actually, I'm making a quick stop on my way into work. So I am going to sign off also. Good talking to you gentlemen today. Have a good day, K-E-8-R-U-H. And I will listen for Wally's final. Have a good day, everyone.
Mission accomplished. Grandkid off at the school. I wasn't the last person in the parking lot, so I feel better about things like that. And I'm heading home, and you guys all have good days. I can't believe it is freaking Cardinal Mooney. I wonder why that bus is here. But other than that, you guys all have a good day, and Don, you clear it out, and good luck with your grocery shopping.
It's not just grocery shopping. There's other things I got to do. I got to go down to St. Clair Shores, my hometown. That's where I do a lot of this stuff. And I'll be four blocks from a certain bakery that Sean's familiar with, if he's listening. And if he wants a special order with a special delivery, I will call him around noon. Again, everybody have a great day. Stay safe. Good to hear everybody's voices, even though I'm not on as much. Take care. W8RCY.
Hey, man, I just slacked you.
Oh, I'm not on Slack.
Giving up for what?
Yeah. I just shut it all off. I've been on Slack.
You're a little light on that one, dropped out. You've been offline for a few days? What's going on?
No, I said I've been off Slack for a few days.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm setting up the 5070 for W8MAC right now, and I've got to come up with a host name and the domain. Just wanted to make sure that was in keeping with everything we're doing.
Yeah, just call it WAMAC-SRBR. And then, WAMAC-SRBR. Don't worry about the domain name. And then make sure you create a user called WAMAC. Make sure you upload self SSH.
Man, you are really, really weak in this system. You keep fluttering out, but I got most of that. All right, I'll skip the domain name. I'll create a WA8MAC and make sure SSH is going, all that good stuff. That's almost as bad as having it laying on the back seat of the car.
Well, now I gotta go out in the snow and fix it.
How much snow you guys get up there?
I mean, the ground's covered. I still see green patches in there, but the ground's covered. I can't believe it. It's kind of laying out. The hell knocked it over?
Squirrels. All right, let me get this thing up and running so that I can plug it in. Get it ready.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, just use WAMAC-SRBR for the host name. Don't worry about domain name. Maybe user callback. Set the root password and that other the user's the user account password to the same, and then make sure you install SSH. But don't worry about installing anything else. And you should be good. Alright, I've unplugged the right hand mic, or right desk mic from the right UHF radio to go outside. Holy crap! Alright, starting, I've already clocked in, so, just send me a message on, Telegram, I guess, when you want me to check the IP address, and, or just yell here, and I'll try to SSH into it, make sure I get into it. And 8KBB.
Okay.
And
take a stimulant medication, so I'm always, you know, since I started that, I've always kind of had, like, you know, blood pressure right on the, right in the brink of, do we do anything or we just leave it alone? And so they ran an AKG and said it was getting like an extra heartbeat in there, so maybe we'll see if that was a bad test or maybe there's something going on. Not so much now. I mean, last year was quite a stressful year, but that was a different story.
Stress test is when they hook you up with a bunch of leads, and either you run on a treadmill or you walk, and it brings your heart rate up, or they just inject you with some goo and makes it go crazy, and then they, you know, everything looks good, and they bring you back down.
Oh, you're asking if I had a stress test? No, I haven't done that yet. I mean, this is the first appointment, so we'll see what they want to do.
I feel you, man. I mean, two years in a row, I had a surgery. I had a surgery, what, 2 years ago? Because my right arm felt like somebody lit it on fire. And after 6 months of testing and this and that, get an MRI and says, oh, you have a torn rotator cuff. Great, I suffered for it for 6 months, if not longer. And then last year, having losing feeling in my fingers, and my neck was always, it just felt weird, and did some more tests, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got two tests missing in your neck. So yeah, fun times.
Lost your disc? How that happened? Yeah, my ex-wife, she, she was helping some old lady that fell on the parking lot and on the ice or whatever, ended up herniating a disc, and, you know, she started to lose feeling in her leg, and went to the doctor, they did an MRI, and they told her, you know, get to the ER now, because if you don't go to the ER, they're going to, you know, make you wait a month before they schedule the surgery, and the longer you don't have feeling in your leg, the more likely it won't come back, so she ended up having to get herniated disc repaired, and she still doesn't have all of her feeling. She got some of it back, but she did have some nerve damage, but, you know, price of helping people out.
Yeah, mine's from degenerative disc disease, is what they call it. And plus, too, from, you know, running cables and ceilings or bending back, I mean, all different factors, but, yeah, I had two discs in my cervical spine that just really disintegrated. So it was bone on bone, and bone spurs were pressing in the nerves, causing my arms to act all wacky. And finally I said, yeah, we got to do something about that. They wanted to do two surgeries, one to put the artificial discs in, and the other one maybe a year later for fusion. I'm like, no, I'm not going through two. Do it all at one time. So I got two titanium discs and a titanium plate holding it all together.
Yeah, that was particularly in the ER, and somebody pops in, and they pop back out, and they're like, well, where's the person with the herniated disc? Because she was, you know, up walking around, and they're like, yeah, usually people that have that aren't up and walking around. They're not able to even move.
Yeah, but it's amazing what your body does. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that, you know, like I said, the one to my neck, that could have been there for a while, and then finally it just grew enough that it was pressing on the nerves, and so you don't really know that you have nerve compression until you start having symptoms. Like me, I was in my right. right arm, I was losing feeling. I had constant numbness in my right thumb, but my finger also. But then I was losing the ability to write, so it was getting bad. But at that point, they say it's usually 30 to 40% compressed before you actually know the symptoms. And sometimes it springs back. Sometimes there's a little bit of damage. So I have a feeling I have a little bit of damage.
Going on and just thinking something else. I had a couple years ago I had my gallbladder taken out, and we just every once in a blue moon I would get just a stomach ache after usually it was like after I ate a big meal or something. I thought, oh, I just overate or had indigestion or whatever, and just kind of wrote it off. And all of a sudden I had the pain and it just never went away. And went to urgent care and they're like, if it gets worse, go to the ER. And, the next morning it was hurting so bad I couldn't even sleep. And it was like, it didn't get worse because that was as hard as it was going to get. just had a high tolerance for it, I guess. They ended up the next day it had the gallbladder taken out.
No, you just don't like me. I don't go unless it's really bothering me. Something's really just not right. Because of my stubbornness, it almost put me in a pine box. Because, what was it? Oh, I woke up the next morning after my daughter's birthday party, and I just had severe stomach cramps. I mean, just bad, just intolerable. And then all of a sudden, I was on the verge. I literally passed out. Wife took my temp and it was like way below normal. She goes, well, this isn't right. And I thought I was sick. I'm like, I'm not going. And I was fighting it all the way. And I said, fine. Went to the urgent care. And they go, man, your appendix is about to burst. You got to go in. So shot me in the ER. Yeah, lo and behold, this was diverticulitis. And one of them little pockets burst. Wasn't fun. KKK Joe for ID, we'll give a pause.
Yeah, the other thing was had to go to the bathroom and turn around and I turned both and there was white. That's like that's not normal. Something's definitely wrong. That was an interesting time, but now it's much better. Don't get those stomach aches anymore.
They always say that your body's only good to lean 50 and things start breaking down.
I think I got the lemon then. Or I'm really screwed when I turn 50.
Oh no, my first major surgery was I was seen just after a couple years after my son was born, I think. Yeah, I got married in 93. And prior to that, my wife was sick. She got mono. I'm like, I'll go get checked out. Didn't have mono, but my blood platelets were, low, and I didn't know about it until I started getting these spots later, a couple years later. I was getting that feeling again, I was getting sick, so they did a test, and they're like, oh, your blood platelets are low. That's not good. 3 years of testing, steroids and injections and everything else like that, ended up taking my spleen. Because my body, my body was attacking my own blood platelets.
Nobody took blood and checked that before in 3 years?
No, I think it was 2 years because it was 93 or 90, late 90. Early 94, somewhere around there. I just started with the company that I'm with now. And I was just getting sick, and I felt like I was getting anemic, so they ran a blood test, and they found my platelets, and started going and seeing a blood doctor, and every week, they were just fluctuating. They were way below normal. And then the week before surgery, I pretty much had none. So it was like, we need to take you in now.
No, we can't wait a month for the schedule this out. We're going now.
Oh, yeah, because of insurance, you have to do all the, as both of my surgeons said, you have to do all the check boxes first with insurance. So I had to do the physical therapy for my shoulder. And then I ripped it or I damaged it or whatever in October. I didn't have surgery until April, so. And then with my neck, that started last April, and I didn't have surgery until September.
Yeah, the church stuff can be quite annoying. It's, guys with the pocketbook are pulling all the strings, and it's like, you know, let's not listen to the doctor that knows best. You gotta make sure you check everything else before you do what you actually need to do.
With the shoulder, doing the physical therapy, I had a real good PT group, and it helped me strengthen a better muscle so I can at least function. And they basically just said, you know, the symptoms that I had were indicative of rotator cuff and also indications of spinal issues. So I chose the shoulder and started working on that. And then finally they went in there and they're like, oh yeah, it's got to be, you know, something's going on with it. They did an MRI. And they're like, oh yeah, it's like 40% torn. And you got to do something about it now, or you can wait. I'm like, let's do it now. He got in, and he goes, oh, no, it was a complete tear. So I had one little strand left and one wrong move, and it could have just, the surgery would have been way longer than what it was.
Yeah, it sounded like they could have probably caught that with an x-ray, maybe. Anyway, I'm about here. I had to find the place, so I'm going to say 7-3. This is the ambient one.
There you go. Hope you have a productive day. I'll talk to you on the flip line. KTKTO.
W8FSM from W8FU.
Hey, W8Y, you just calling me CQ, CQ, calling me CQ on the W8FSM repeater. CQ calling CQ, W8Y, you just calling him back.
No.
Hey, did you set the BIOS to boot up on power up and not worry about keyboard errors and all that on this thing yet?
I did.
All right. You can probably take it up to your, up there on your lunch break anytime now if you want. And I can finish the rest when it's up in the rack.
I will do that. About probably get out of here about an hour. I'll take it up there, install it, and then be good to go.
Yep. I figured when you went on lunch. Yep. Once it's upstairs and up, I'll then move the nodes and RCCMs over and set up registration and all that. But I got everything else done ready for it to go up in the little hole.
Okay, I meant to get to the other two, Richmond and Warren, but it's just been shorthanded and other stuff going on, so, but progress was made.
No worries. pushing the audio files to it right now, so at least those are there. But everything else is ready, and the keys are loaded, so yeehaw. And there goes the audio files. Alright, I just figured I had 10 minutes, I'd do it really quick between calls. So you can get it up there. WNF, listen.
Alright, if you could issue a shutdown command to it, just let me know when that's done, and then I'll go put off the rack.
Okay, Wise Box is halted. Or, I told it to halt, so there you go. WNFSM. WNFSM from WNFU.
KF8S in the mobile.
Who cares?
Eric's manning the station at Who Cares in Warren.
Lurking
on his Cisco, waiting to use his hands-free.
Negative. Audio codes through the mouse piece. No hands-free. One can get banned for that and chastised.
Oh, what a crappy weather day.
Are you out and about?
Yeah, I'm stopping by McDonald's and doing the curbside pickup. And then I'm going to go to the BJ's warehouse and pick up some stuff over there. But I got to get the Minecraft collectible meal again. I want to see what random thing I get.
Ah, very good. Yeah, that's amazing that they made a movie and all that stuff on such an old game. That's crazy. Good afternoon, Sean and Eric, KE8BSI.
Good afternoon again. That might have been morning when I was talking to you earlier. Anyhow, I thought I'd take the stab at finding an easy problem. No such luck, but my stop is right here.
All right, well, we'll get an update on what you discovered or did not discover next time then. I tried chiming in on an HT to get a weaker signal, but it looks like that guy in Rochester covered your needs.
Oh, yeah, no problem. He was perfect. But the weird one, I'm going to have to, I got to pull that repeater out of there anyhow, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, because I'm going to dedicate that one to 25. But I've got spare repeaters and all that. All right, I'm pulling into my stop. Catch everybody later. Eric, go ahead. That's over to Dave. I'll be out of here. W8M.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good afternoon, Greg. Good afternoon, Dave. I'll go back to lurking. I just had to throw in my comment there. I'm going to go out and get a meatball sub today, in case anyone cares. I'll be back in a few. W8EAP.
We do care because this is the lunchtime report show. I mean, or the, where they call the lunchtime check-in net.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Meatball sub. You know, you hear about it my whole life. I've never had one. Sounds delicious, though. Hopefully you enjoy that.
Yeah, I haven't been out of the house since, I think, the weekend. So it's like, I gotta drive somewhere. Just taking a lunch break. And I'm going to put up an antenna on the weekend, I hope. But I don't know how the weather is going to go.
Yeah, I hear you. I got out. Wife needed a ride somewhere. I forget where, and I offered. Well, she didn't need a ride. I just offered to take her just to get myself out of the house. That was the other day. It was sunny out. Boy, does that make a difference, because I have not been out much lately. So good call on leaving the house. Today, not so much. I woke up this morning and went, holy cow, I was just my heart sank. But another few more days and we'll be hitting 50, 60 again. Do tell about antenna plans.
Well, I got to wait for all the stuff to come in. Ooh, a railroad crossing. I gotta wait for all the stuff to come in. I ordered some coax, and I ordered, you know, the N9 TAX antenna, those roll-up, like, J-pole things. I figured those would be great for stealth. So what I think I'm gonna do is, like, I'm gonna hang it on the overhang on one side of my house and just kind of let it dangle down, and I don't think it'll cause much attention from the HOA or anything. So we'll try that. I'll put it in the backyard so that, you know, you can't see it from the front side and all that fun stuff. And we'll see how that goes.
Oh, that's interesting. I do know what you're talking about, and I think it's a great idea. I don't know how expensive they are, but in your case, you could even, like, get three of them put around your house as high as you can get them, because you can get some good height there, and then maybe even just two, and put an antenna switch on, depending on where you're talking to, kind of thing. But one is good. It should work well. I like that idea.
Yeah, I ordered two. They were like $30 and some change. They don't come with any, like, they come with an SO 239 end, and then, like, part of the antenna isn't even used for the radiator, so you can kind of bend it if you need to make it shorter. And what was I going to say? So I got one to put up on the house, and then one I want to use it, like, when I'm portable and stuff, or, you know, if I'm somewhere else in the house, I'll just, you know, put it up against the window.
Ah, okay. Very good. Sounds like a fun little project.
Yep. Yeah, I like the idea, you know, with that SDR control software. I mean, it only does 10 watts, but I got to figure out how to get into this place. I don't want to go to Selfridge. Does this turn around? I think it turns around. Anyways, nope, this is not the right way in. I'll figure it out. But anyways, I lost my train of thought. Squirrel.
I don't remember what you started saying either, because I was trying to figure out where exactly you were trying to get into BJ's. But I couldn't, so whatever. It's all good. You were talking about the 705 and SDR control, and then we kind of fell out from there.
Oh, man, no turns. I guess I'm going on the freeway. I think I can get in here. Hold on. I've never been in this way before. Nope, I'm going on the freeway. Oh, well, I'm going on an adventure. I got to go up the 21 mile and circle back. So what I was trying to say with the 705, it's only got 10 watts. but I was thinking of putting on the external antenna, and then, like, if I want to talk on that and I'm not in my office, I could just use the phone app or the iPad app or the even the computer app.
Yep, I think you will like that. That's a very good idea. Get it down to everything simplest in one thing for many uses. And in the end, if you need a little more oomph, you can always get a little amp for that band, or UHF anyway. I don't know that you'll do much VHF, but you know, either way. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it's mostly just one, trying to make more use out of the 705. It just kind of sits there when I'm not doing POTA stuff, and I haven't been doing POTA stuff in a while. And then also getting back into using more RF things instead of internet links.
Yep, that's right. And if you do get that, the J-Pole should be a decent antenna. If you get some decent height with some decent coax, your 10 watts should be, it should, from that location, be pretty darn good. So, I like it.
Yeah, I am surprised. I mean, it's only up 18 feet. Like, I thought, like, the second story was, like, 30 feet, but then I guess that's right. It's, like, 8 feet per floor. So that would be, like, 16, you know, add a few more feet. So, and three stories would be, 24 feet or 25 feet, so, yeah, that makes sense. But I was outside measuring, because I had to figure out how much coax I needed, and I got one of those, like, little laser measure things. I mean, those things are great. Like, you can, like, do the hypotenuse, you know, all that stuff with the you can make, like, an angle. So if you only have, like, two angles, you can get a measurement with the thing. You just do the laser on a, like a diagonal, and then a laser straight ahead, and then, you know, if you have two angles, you can compute all the sides, so it does it all for you.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know you got one of those. Yeah, I was actually thinking about, I was curious on my own antenna, measuring distance from the house to the first tree, and then the first tree to the second tree, and then back, and then there's angles on them, so getting the distance would be rough. I've used my LiDAR, I guess, on my iPhone. It's not ready for that type of stuff. Some of it does pretty good. You know, the distance on the ground and stuff like that is fantastic. But and then I was figuring, okay, I could do this and this and this, and then calculate. You know, you can do you have the angle and the length, and you can calculate the third one. But yeah, that thing sounds like a dream. So maybe one day we'll get it over here and measure up my stuff just to get a diagram and everything of what I got, how high things are and how far things are, stuff like that.
Yeah, I was introduced to it when the guy measured my blinds, and I go, oh, those are cool. He was using this laser measure to get the exact, like, things for the blinds. Like, oh, where did you get that? I go, oh, they're on Amazon. They're like, I don't think they were more than $30. I think they're maybe like $15. It depends on what you get, how far you want to get. You know, they have ones that go like 200 feet and seven. You know, depending on which one you get, the price goes up. And they're handy to have. So if you're interested, I'll send you the link to the one I got. And you can see if you want to get one or not. I mean, they come in handy, trust me.
Yeah, okay. No, it sounds really cool. Definitely, when you get a second, send me the link. I'll check it out.
Alrighty, I made it to my destination, so I'll let you go. And hopefully you don't go stir crazy. I'll listen out. KFADS.
All right, good luck shopping. Don't spend too much money. KEA, BSI, clear.
Yes, I need the DRC for a radio check.
Sounded great, Jax. KE8WOJ.
Well, the radio's working at a TVE.
Thank you, guys. I don't know, that snow and rain, I can't get out, so that's why I was checking and see if this radio getting out.
Well, you're making the repeater, no problems, and your audio sounds wonderful.
Thank you again. You guys take care. KF8VIC.
Good day, Jack. KEAWOJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was another station in there. I heard him say something for the radio, and I went to grab the mic, and I never heard you in there. I'm sorry I got in the way. NATV.
No problem. You didn't get in the way of nothing. Jack just called for a radio check, and I just beat you to it, I guess.
Well, there you go. I'm up here in Hemlock. Not sure how far away from the repeater that is, but once in a while I turn the volume up on the radio if I'm not on HF and see if anything's going on. Name here is Dave. Over.
Nice to meet you. My name's Rick Hemlock. Is that up by Saginaw Bay City?
Yeah, affirmative. I'm about the equal distance going across the strait, or the state rather, from Saginaw and west of Saginaw, maybe 25 miles.
Oh, I'll be darned. I talked to you before on the OAK, that Pontiac repeater, quite a bit late at night.
All right. I got a list of people I talked to down there. I haven't been able to get on it on 2 meters there for a while. I can bring it up, but it's less than S1, so I don't even try to have a conversation because I'll be nothing but noise.
Yeah, I haven't heard you in year and a half or something like that, I think it was. It's been a while. I don't know, you had a really good setup at the time. You were booming into Pontiac like you were sitting in my driveway.
Well, that's good. Yeah, a couple of hundred watts and a vertical up in the air make a difference. I still haven't got my beams up. Once I get them up, things will even be a little bit better. Except you gotta mess around with rotating the elements towards whatever repeater you're using. But give me your call again, will ya? Because I got a piece of paper and pencil in front of me now.
I'm Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar, Whiskey Oscar Juliet. Ah, I got a little tongue-tied there.
All right. So what put you on the 440 repeater today? 2-meter repeater, you're out of the area, or what's going on?
Well, I'm out on the porch having a cigar with HT. I got dual VFOs, so I got one set to a repeater where some fellas I know usually talk on, and the other one I kind of scan around. Are you on the West Bloomfield repeater, the WB8ARC?
Well, it's a 440Q200, I think it said. Not not sure of the location of that repeater exactly. I know it's south of my PTH, though. So.
Some other linked repeaters that are going to the kind of east side there. Them fellas got their own kind of system set up. It's a really good one.
Yeah, I like 440 work better than 2 meter. 2 meter had the distance, but 440 seemed to have better audio through the repeater system. So I guess that's just the nature of the beast.
Yes, sir. There's a fella on Friday evenings runs a repeater crawl. He jumps around through a bunch of repeaters, checking them out. 2 meter and 440, and the 440s are always kind of amazing because you can get you can get 5.2 kind of kind of signals, and even 5.1 kind of signals, and the audio is still just clear as a bell. It's kind of weird. Doesn't seem to happen on 2 meter.
Yeah, I got a 2 meter amp for this radio. It's not turned on at the moment. It Tokyo High Power puts out 100 watts. And my one tower, I got 22 elements on 440. And I've been able to talk from Hemlock, which is west of Saginaw, to London, Ontario, and make the repeater in London, or New London, I can't remember what they called it for sure, but had a conversation over there with a guy, and he was Edgar Winner's sound manager from his rock and roll band, if you follow rock and roll way back in the day.
And I can remember his brother's name. They look like twins to me. But yeah, that was probably Mike's repeater, MMX, over there in London. That's a pretty good one. That's linked in, too, and it's, he's got it hooked up to quite a few different bands.
Yeah, I haven't messed around too much trying to do so-called DX work with the 440 repeaters lately. I had a branch on my oak tree grew into my 6 meter and 10 meter monobanders, and now I don't want to turn it because I need to get it up in the tree and trim the branch down. But that's a headache for another day. I need to get one of them lifts to go up there to do it. It's either that or a bucket truck, and both of them are expensive.
For sure. While you're making the trip down here today, pretty good.
Well, I got, this is a Yaesu, 50 watt, or I think it's 35 watts. And a one of those Cushcraft Ringo Ranger 2 verticals. It's not up too high, maybe 30 feet at the base. I did run a 9913 feed line to it though, so I got away with a little bit of a loss issue. And this yeah, I got a couple repeaters in here, but this one is the one that works the best, an HTVE.
Sitting on the porch with Anytone 878 U2+ handheld, but I'm only a mile and a quarter from the repeater. Or actually, the West Bloomfield repeater is the one I'm talking to. And then that's linked into the repeater system that you're into.
Well, you're full quiet in, so the battery in the HT must be charged up.
So
what kind of stogie smoking. I got a humidor here myself.
Well, nothing fancy. I just buy those Cheyenne cigar things instead of regular cigarettes. I figure they don't have as many chemicals in it. cigar tobacco and cigar paper that it's wrapped in. It's still got a filter.
Well, there you go. You better than I do. I still nip the end off with a cigar nipper and fire it up, but I try to not buy anything bigger than a Corona. I figure a half hour smoke is enough to have it. There's something about relighting an old cigar don't taste quite as good as the first couple of puffs off it. But as long as you're not inhaling, I guess you'll live longer.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, I started out on cigarettes, so I inhale. That's why I kind of like the filter.
Well, there you go. I was a cigarette smoker, too, for, you know, from high school up until I got a brain, and I gave up cigarettes. And I went to cigars, and I smoked quite a few cigars before I found the strength and flavor that I found compatible. And I had friends that smoked cigars, and they got to have real rich cigars, and I prefer things to be kind of in the middle. A little bit more than mild, but not strong, and they say when you buy a real cigar, you buy it for the amount of time you get. So if you want a fifth smoke, you gotta get a real short one, like a Petite Corona. And you want to buy a long one, you can end up puffing on it half the day. So if I'm going to do it, I do it. And I only have it once every couple of months now. A good shot of bourbon and a cigar, and hope the problems are behind me for a couple of hours.
Yeah, Roger that. Are you far enough north where you got into that ice storm they had the, what was it, last week there? It knocked out, Grayling, Gaylord, and all that?
Nope, I'm not that far north. Like I say, west of Saginaw, south of Midland in that area. And it doesn't matter about that. My house, I got solar panels and a wind generator, and I'm off the grid here. So I haven't had to pay the consumers company their money for several years. And a lot of work, big investment, but there's a benefit.
You said you were all set up over there. I was just curious how far south that ice storm came. It had been over for a couple of days before I even heard about it.
No, we got rain here. I think maybe it sweated a little bit, but that was it. We got over an inch of rain total on those 2 days. It's more probably like an inch and a couple of tenths, but I had water sitting out in the yard, and it's finally dried up, and the sump pumps are running.
Yeah, same here. The sump pumps are the hardest working things in the house here.
I hear that. Plus, they like their power. I got two outside ones and two in the basement. And the outside ones are the ones running right now. Time they got, there's a tile that goes around the basement and it drains into an outside crunt. And if you only have two pumps, if one of them quits, you'll have problems. I got a drive-in basement, and the crock is next to the entrance to the basement, so you don't get water just outside, you get water all over.
Yeah, we've just got two in the basement, but one is a new one. Originally, there was just all the tiles run into one crock over in the northeast corner of the house there, and boy, should that one go down, it's no time at all before the basement starting to get water in the floor.
Did you put a second one in there? Do you got a backup, or is the crock not big enough?
There was a water, a venturi system backup, but the valve went many years ago, and apparently that's really, really expensive. So I've got a transfer punch, or a transfer pump, and EcoFlow. So if the power goes out, I can just hook a hose up and pump it outside.
Well, there you go. At least you got a backup. I've had to vacuum out the basement quite a few times way back when the pump would act up or I would lose power here. And I took care of the power problem, but there's a tile that goes out into my front yard about 100 feet. And keeps the front yard and the driveway dry, and the tile around the foundation, they all go into the same crock. So they work pretty good. They run for about 30, 40 seconds, and they might be off for 20 or 30 seconds. And that goes on until May, probably, when the ground dries up and all the frost is out of it. It can be an issue, and you got to wear your boots down to the basement. Over.
Oh, yeah, so what do you do for fun up there? You hunt or fish or anything?
Well, I got a boat. I got a Four Winds Vista 26-footer express cruiser. And been talking with the woman about putting it in the water there, which lease starts 1st of May, so need to get moving here since we only got 3 weeks or thereabouts left April. Put it up at Liberty Marina in Bay City. Best marina up there. Most expensive, but they're close to all the bars and restaurants without having to drive. So you can have drinks with all the other boaters and walk across the field and you're on Midland Street, if you're familiar with Bay City. And that's usually where you got the pizza places and restaurants and bars, and good place to go. A little pricey, but what are you going to do?
A friend up in Kalkaska, he's got a, I forgot what it is, 16, 18 foot Lund little fishing boat there. We used to haul our butts over to Houghton Lake in the spring there as soon as the ice got off for crappie fishing in the canals there. That was a whole lot of fun. But it was kind of nice with all the homes and all the streets and stuff around there. We'd be sitting in one of the canals and get hungry, and I'd hop on the phone and find a pizza place that delivers, and I'd look at the address of the house. A lot of them were cottages and nobody around there at the time. I'd get an address off of one of those and give them the address, and they drive right on out there and deliver the pizza to the boat. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. The pizza place up there in Bay City that used to deliver down to the marina, they had my phone number on their caller ID. So every time I'd call them, they'd ask if there was a delivery to Dave's boat. And then you give them your order, and they show up, and they even brought me beer before when I was out of beer. Gave them a good tip for it. But I never heard of a pizza place that was delivering beer. So that worked out good. I haven't had my boat in the water for a couple of years, so I'm itching to put it back in, and it's a lot of work, though. It needs a good scrubbing yet, and it's not been warm enough to pull the power washer out and then get the buffer out and go through everything that needs to be done. So then I'm still recovering from winter and ATVE.
AWOJ. Yep. That's what I like about the smaller boats. You can just drag them behind you, pull it out of the garage, take off, put it in, fish, take it back home, stick it in the garage. Not a whole lot of work, except cleaning up the mess you made in there. That's usually not too bad.
Well, I wanted to get one that had a berth in it, place where I could zonk out and have a place where I could cook food. And I bought a stainless steel propane grill that fits in a rod holder on the back of the boat. And you can cook maybe four burgers or a couple of fillets of fish or a steak or two. And that works out real good because everybody else in the marina, when you're cooking chicken, goes crazy. But if you're out on the bay and you catch some walleye, and you clean them and throw them on the grill and cook them right there without having to come in and deal with it. So that's kind of convenient too. Just got to make sure you got a spare tank of propane in case you run out. Do some hunting, do you?
I used to. I can't get around that awful good anymore. So fishing's about all I got left. But sounds like a nice setup you got there. And if you get into some fish, you've got a place you can run down and get a nap and get rejuvenated and go back at it kind of thing. But, yeah, we used to take when the smelt had run in Port Huron over there, me and a friend used to take a Coleman camp stove and flour and frying pans and stuff, and we'd go scoop out a bucket full of smelt and go back to the tailgate of the truck and throw it down and start cooking up smelt. Man, it was good stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Don't hardly need to clean them.
I think you clean the big ones and all the rest of them. You just rinse them off good. Fry pan.
What?
I like doing fish on the grill, except there's air that
No audio.
Well, Dave, you're kind of floating in and out, and there's somebody coming in and stepping on you there, so I guess maybe we've been on a little bit too long. So anyway, it's good catching up with you again after so long. Glad to hear you're still out there and kicking. So good to hear from you. Have a great day, and this is T-E-8-W-O-J. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, Rick. Oh, yeah.
Everything goes well, and I will keep my ear open for you. If I hear you in there again and everything is nobody there in the way, we'll carry on the conversation. So 73 KE8 WOJ rather, N8TVE up here in Hemlock, 73.
Yeah, just letting you know, there's nobody stepping on you. I think there might be something with your mic. You might want to just check your mic. KF8S.
All right,
was I sending the carrier the whole time, just no audio?
Yeah, there was carrier, but then the audio was wavering in and out, almost like you were moving the mic away from you and back, but I don't think it was that, probably like a loose connection or something.
Yeah, I was having issues with the microphone on this radio, and I got a microphone, and I think I need to PTT switch, and that'll maybe help the problem. I'm going to go and do that now. I bought a can of contact cleaner, so maybe I get lucky. But we'll catch you later, Rick. Have a good one. NATV.
Okay, fellas, have a great day, and we'll catch you down the road. DEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
Good luck. KFADS.
K-A-P-P.
K-A-C-E-S, listening.
N-A-Z-K-F, listening.
N-A-K-A-P-P, mobile.
on Sheldon Road and N14.
Oh, okay. I thought that was closed. What, they're tearing that up?
It's a mess, but they reopened the ramp, and I mean, this is a mess here, but you can get through it.
Okay. Just some noise on you, but very popular.
Repeater sounding good here, and I'm going up the hill now, so if you're around, I'll give you a kiss shout when I get out to 23.
Okay, I'll only be in the car for a few minutes, just making a local errand.
All right, well, yeah, it seems to be working much better. Good job, Phil.
All right, very good. All right, yeah. Check in. I might be listening. We'll see. ABP here.
All right. Shouldn't be long. I'm moving along pretty good now. Out of the construction. ABP here, I think.
ABPR-K8BB. Hello, Don.
Hey. Repeater's strong.
Yeah. Got the amplifier back in, working. Not put out quite what I wanted, but close enough. So, yeah, it was a little good.
Which is asking a lot, I know, but I don't expect it to be any different. But yeah, I'll give it a try there later. Just to make sure the receive side is still up where it was.
Yeah, I had a temporary repeater in there. It was a desktop machine that was running until I got the other one back in. I think that may have had a little better sensitivity, truthfully, I'm discovering. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
All right. Well, I will, I'll give it a test a little bit later today or tomorrow and let you know. Let me hear it's back up. I'm just on telegraph, so it's easy, but it's like 100% spot here.
Yeah, it's good. It walks out right now. Now the duplexer, it's probably like closer to 70.
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, I didn't actually measure it, but based on historical issues, let's see, okay, and where I'm going, next stop. So, catch you later.
All right, yep, I'm just running out. I got to make a second stop here in just a minute myself, and then get back home. Take care. K8BB.
KATR, KD8, copy.
Yeah, Keith, I'm just about to get out of the car here. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to tell you, it's working real well at Mound and 12. I was just leaving work. If you ever want me to add it into the repeater crawl just to get a bigger profile, let me know. KD8ZSK, 73. Have a good evening.
Okay, very good. You can get here.
WX8L, WX3M.
Going back to old call signs?
Yes, it's defunct call sign hour.
Oh, okay. K8ITS?
K8BP.
KF8BOT.
What's up, Dakota? KF8S.
Just starting my truck home. What are you doing?
Well, I've been trying to work, but this weather's making me want to take a nap.
Yeah, if there was ever a day to take a nap, it's today.
Yeah, I'm just going back and forth with my wife about my dog. I guess she needs a more calorie-rich diet. And it's like, I don't know how much more food we can give her. I just don't think she's metabolizing it. So I don't know. We'll try stuff. I mean, she's 16 years old, so I don't know. But she's at the vet, and the vet says she's too skinny.
I mean, if they're just focused on getting calories, can you put some, like, eggs or peanut butter in with their food?
Well, I wouldn't put eggs in with the prices they are, but peanut butter, yeah.
Vets have been saying that about my dog since he was a puppy, and I've never been able to put weight on him. I've tried it all. I've tried peanut butter. I've tried beef broth on the food, chicken broth, raw eggs, scrambled eggs, you name it, and the dog just doesn't gain weight.
Yeah, and then the vet saying you're supposed to feed your dog 3 times a day. I've never heard that before. Maybe 2 times a day when they're a puppy, and then 1 time a day when they're adults. So I've never heard feed a dog 3 times a day like a human.
Is this one of those holistic vets? My dog eats once a day. Growing up, my dog's always ate once a day. I could see 2 times a day for a senior dog, but I don't see 3 times a day. That seems, I don't eat 3 times a day.
Yep. Yeah. No. I've always been told, you know, when they're a puppy, they're growing, so they eat 2 times a day. But when they're older, maybe less active, you give them 1 time a day. But I've always fed all my animals 2 times a day. But, you know, the portion, whatever they say on the bag or whatever, just I split it, you know. I mean, in the wild, I think, don't they hunt in the morning and they hunt in the evening, the wolves or whatever?
Yeah, but the wolves aren't successful every hunt, so that's a little different. Plus, they eat until they can gorge themselves for the most part, if they get, you know, a good kill.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, my dog will sometimes think, like, she could have food taken away from her. Like, she tries to eat really fast, and when she eats too fast, she throws up. So it's like, that's kind of why I portion it to, like, 2 times a day. You know, like, give her a little bit and let her digest, and then give her a little bit later. So, like, not, now that we brought the dire wolves back, we can go on the dire wolf diet.
Yeah, we're one day closer to Jurassic Park in real life. But, I mean, your dog's 16 years old. I wouldn't take what the vets say to the bank. You've obviously done something right to keep her alive this long.
Yeah, I think they're trying to push that. There was, she sent me a picture. They're trying to push their little Hill's scientific diet, urgent care. They have urgent care dog food. I was like, what? There's urgent care dog food? It's like, I don't want to give my dog fast food.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that they're just, I mean, I'm not saying that's exactly what they're trying to do, but it definitely seems that they're, she's like, oh, well, your dog's too light. You need to feed her three times a day, and you need to feed her this stuff that I sell. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she comes home with a couple cans of that stuff, but I'm more inclined to stay with the farmer's dog stuff that I got and then maybe add to it, maybe add some peanut butter to it like you were suggesting or some other stuff. But I honestly think my gut feeling is that the dog can't metabolize, like she's just, she's got something else going on that she's not able to metabolize properly, and it's passing through her system, and just not, she's just not getting the nutrients. That's my gut feeling.
I think that's a safe theory. I hope that's not the case, but she is 16, right? Things start slowing down or not working as good the older you get, and that's not a big dog in the first place, so... I mean, they're not, it's not like a lab or like a bulldog or something that it's quick to put weight on.
Yep, she's a Cocker Spaniel. She sleeps most of the day. I mean, she does pace a lot, so maybe she's just pacing too much. But she's kind of got like an anxious personality. And she's always walking around, but that might just be because she's hungry. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, 16. She seems like a happy dog, though. You know, like I feel like if she was starving or not getting enough, she would be very lethargic, wouldn't be moving around, you know, stuff like that. But the dog just wants to walk. I mean, she doesn't walk fast, but she wants to. You know, she's happy. Happy dog. Always greets you, you know, all that stuff. So I don't know. If it was time to put her down, I would know. You know, you kind of like, as an owner, you know when it's time to put your dog down and stuff like that. But she's happy dog, eats her food, drinks her water, goes to the bathroom fine, you know, all that stuff. So I don't know.
Like I said, I wouldn't worry too much about what that vet's telling you.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's going in there because I think she has an infection and needs antibiotics. It's the only reason why we took her to the vet. If I could prescribe my antibiotics myself, I would.
Yeah, that's the worst part. That's when all the money gets spent. Every time I have to take my dog to the vet because he's got, you know, a stupid cut. Or some sort of infection which he's gotten from licking himself too much. They're like, oh, while you're here, he needs this, he needs this, he needs this, he needs this. It's like, all right, $500 later and my dog had a broken toenail.
That's funny. Broken toenail. Yep. Well, that's what we go through as pet owners. They do have pet insurance. On my job, actually, like, you can get pet insurance. Yeah, obviously, it comes out of your paycheck, but if a dog's so old, don't need pet. I mean, there's no point in pet insurance. It would be crazy expensive.
My aunt's got it for her Yorkie, and that dog goes to the vet like it's, I swear, it's like going to the dentist every 6 months. That dog's getting a checkup.
I think it's more beneficial when they're a puppy to have that pet insurance because, you know, you got to get all your shots anyways and all that, you know, the first year's worth of stuff. But as they get older, I think it's, yeah, less important or whatever. So, but it all depends. You know, there's certain owners that their pets are their, like, kids, you know, and they treat them as such.
I was just going to say, my aunt's the prime candidate for pet insurance because she's single, doesn't have kids, and has a Yorkie, so there you go. What else is she going to spend her money on?
Yeah, and I was at the airport, and I saw somebody, like, they were just walking around holding their dog. They were, like, it was, you know, it's like the pet therapy dog. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about it. Just maybe they might need it, but it's just like it was just a weird sight.
Yeah, that's a little much. Jaeger is my dog. I've had him since November of 2014, and my apartment I had at the time, I couldn't have a dog, so I have a buddy that's got a social worker of a mother, and or a therapist or whatever, and I ended up with a prescription for an emotional support animal, and he's, like, registered by the book, whole nine. It was cool because I could take him anywhere, but, like, the places I wanted to take him, it was really a living situation. The places I wanted to take him, like, he was already allowed to go to, like, we ate outside at a few restaurants, which is probably frowned upon because he's a dog and whatever, but he would just lay at my feet, and then, you know, Home Depot, things like that. So, yeah, the people that are like, this is my dog, I need this dog, it's like, you know, that dog is not going to live as long as you.
Yep, yeah, well, I've always seen that, like, the dogs, they're, you are taking them almost in, like, their part of your pack, right? Like, they're pack animals, so they want to be with their pack. And, you know, and if you don't, like, be that alpha in your pack or whatever, they will assume that role because they either need to be guided or they're going to be the one that guides, you know, so. But I always look at them as, like, they're just companions. They're, like, your buddy that, you know, you come home to and, you know, throw ball, whatever, and they kind of guard your, you know, they're like an early warning system if there's any intruders, you know, that type of stuff. But they do become part of the family, and then, like, you know, when they do get old, like this one, it's like, it's more of a respect thing. I look at it more of as a respect thing, not that I'm trying to keep my dog alive because I need my dog. It's more of a respect thing. You've been a loyal companion, you've been a good, you know, for the family and all that stuff, so we're going to treat you well.
NACDF, 1,000%, that's exactly where we're at with the Jaeger. I would say they're probably in similar points of their lives. He'll be 12 this year, but he's a, you know, he's a bigger dog, so if he sees 15, I'll be blown away. Which is sad to think, but, like, you know, that's Pipples, I forgot what their average life expectancy is, but it's not crazy. But he's healthy, and he's just a lazy old man now, but we're in the same point where, you know, family comes by, and it's like a part of the family. They greet him, they hug him, they love on him. He sits on their lap. They explain, I'm like, he loves my parents. And, you know, now we protect him from the kids. We make sure he's comfortable. We give him treats, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, dude, you've had a long run. You've been a great pet. You've been a great part of the family. You know, do what you can to take care of him, make him comfortable for his last however long he's got left. And I hate talking like, you know, like he's dying because I hope he's not. But he's a senior dog. And dog years, he's what, 77, 80, almost 80-something years old?
Yup, yeah, I feel like mine's like over 100. But no, you'll know as an owner. You just, like, you know, and I'm sure you've had pets that you put down before and stuff like that. But you kind of know when it's time. You know, if they're they're just in pain or if they're just not moving, you know. It's like my old dog, my golden retriever, I would have to carry him up carry her up the stairs from the basement to take her outside and go to the bathroom. And you can do that for a little while, but at some point it's like, you know what, this quality of life for you. We're just keeping you alive, basically.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to when that time comes, but I've began mentally preparing myself because it's inevitable, right? We're all going to die someday. And he's my first pet. Like, he's my first dog that was mine. I went out and I got him. You know, I took him to the vet. I raised him. He's lived with me, that kind of thing. But I remember even as a kid, I had to put down, we had to put down four dogs, and it was just like, oh my God, it never got any easier.
Yeah, and this last one, I was lucky I had a spare, you know? I mean, I had two dogs for a while, and then, like, you know, when you put one dog down, you've got the other dog at least to kind of, like, fill in the emotional role or whatever you want to call it. That I don't know what's gonna happen after we get rid of this one, or, you know, not get rid of, but, you know, as soon as we have to put her down. We'll probably get another pet at some point. We're kind of planning on it, but I don't want to get another pet until this one's done, because I feel like it takes away from the care aspect of the one animal, and it is a commitment, you know, to these things. So, but anyways, it's the dog topic for today.
Well, and to add to that too, you know, senior dogs aren't always the best with puppies. I'm not saying yours is special because you got to take a little bit of extra care of her, but like, you get a puppy chewing on her and then wants to play, and like, in my opinion, I watched my beautiful 4-year-old majestic pit bull turn into this crotchety, miserable old man because we got a puppy. And I mean, I have pictures I can watch, you know, as you scroll through the timeline of him just getting whiter and whiter and whiter, and it got to the point where this past summer we had to get rid of that dog because that dog, all he wanted to do was mess with Jaeger, and then they would fight, to the point where they're drawing blood. So it's like, all right, I'm done breaking you two up. Jaeger, you've been around forever. Remy will find you a new home, which fortunately we found him a great home where he's living happily ever after. But in my opinion, if you want more than one dog, you should get him at the same time. Or, with a young dog, you can get another puppy. But my senior dog does not want anything to do with another puppy.
Yeah, I lucked out. I had, with the golden retriever, they have, you know, they're pretty even tempered, at least the female ones are. And then when we got the puppy, you know, when the other dog, she was about 8 years old, and, you know, the other one wanted to play, of course, but she was still, only 8 years old. She was still able to, like, play with the other puppy. You know, like, they would play tug-of-war with a rope and things like that. So at first, though, it's funny. She had wanted nothing to do with that puppy. She was like, I'm staying over in my corner. That puppy can bite all it wants over there. But eventually they became buddies. You would catch them sleeping in the same, you know, in their bed, and, you know, and they were buddies for a while, and it worked out. It worked out. We got lucky. They had the same temperament, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, the golden retrievers are very gentle, and then the cocker spaniels, they have a lot of energy. But it's like, you got a big dog and you got a little dog. So the big dog kind of like, you know what, you can't boss me around. I'm bigger than you. There would be some growling, but it was just like kind of like a playful, like, hey, no, don't do that, that's mine type of thing. And then there really wasn't any fights to break up, thank goodness.
That's awesome that you had a mentor dog. Mine kind of started like that, and then as he got older, it got worse. But like you said, right, it's, I think temperament is the best way to match those dogs up, and mine had two totally different, one was a just big idiot, and the other one wanted to just chill, so I can see why they stopped getting along. But anyway, so what are you guys, what are you thinking about getting, another Cocker Spaniel?
Yeah, I'd like to, but I don't know. I mean, I've looked at, you know, since COVID, like, for some reason the dog prices just went up and then they just stayed there. Like, you know, everybody, when they all of a sudden found themselves home all the time, decided that was the time to have a dog. And so then the breeders kind of jacked up the prices, and I don't think they've come down. I don't know if the one lady that we got this dog from, because I remember we only paid $300 for this Cocker Spaniel, and look how long she's lasted. And then my Golden Retriever, I remember I wrote a check for like $550, but you're not going to find that anymore.
Yeah, our chief of sales at work, she just got a puppy, and I can't remember what she paid, but I know it wasn't cheap. And it's, you know, it's like anything else. Do you want the paperwork? What's the bloodline? Have the parents shown? Yada, 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 yada. Jaeger's a $150 Craigslist dog, and then Remy, when we had him, was a $60 Michigan or Macomb Humane Society dog. But I'm convinced that the mutts have the least amount of problems. All my buddies with purebreds always have issues. I'm convinced it's a result of just breeding over and over and over with similar genes. But yeah, that's what I mean. If you get it from the same breeder, though, I think that would probably be. I'm curious what she would charge you, because if you pay $300, then if you factor in everything that's happened since then, it's probably going to be about $900.
Yeah, and I don't even know if she's breeding dogs anymore. I could go look her up. I honestly think this one that we got, she had a hard time giving her up. I think maybe her husband said, no, you have too many dogs. You got to get rid of her type of thing, because she was very emotional when she gave us the dog. Like, usually breeders aren't like that, so usually they're, you know, they're pretty detached from it, but I think this one might have been the runt to the litter or something. I don't know, she took special care of it, but she didn't say any of that, but you could tell by the expressions on her face when I met her at I remember we met at like a truck stop or something, because it was like halfway. You know, they usually breeders are like out in the country somewhere. But, yeah, I don't know if she's doing breeding them anymore. I haven't been really looking, so. But, you know, if anything, you know, let's say something happens to my dog this year, we have to put her down. It probably won't be until next year if, at the earliest, if we were to go for another dog. But it's a commitment, because I remember you got to be around. If you get them as a puppy, you got to be, like, very active the first year to take care of them, you know, crate training, get them on a rhythm, get them on a schedule. And so I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, the Humane Society dogs, that's another option and things like that.
That's been the pushback I've been getting from my wife, because we initially kind of agreed that after Jaeger, no more, but now all three of my kids are obsessed with him, and it's like, well, I grew up with dogs my entire life, and then when I left the house, I had my own dog. So it's like, I don't want to, you know, take that from my kids. But she's like, in the beginning, or not the beginning, but, you know, you get a puppy, and it's chewing on everything, it's pooping, it's peeing. You got to take it out in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't know, like, but I don't know. I said I would do it, but then I think, I'm like, how am I going to do that when I'm gone at work 5 days a week?
Yeah, I don't remember doing this, but my old dog, she used to be in the basement during the day while I worked, because I had to go, you know, I had to go in the office, and I was single at the time. and I had my house, and she would just, I would just put her in the basement, and then I would come home, you know, and then, of course, there'd be a mess in the basement, but that's how I did it. I just fenced off the basement. She had a big area, and then I would come home, and but then she got the whole routine down pretty fast. Goldens are, one thing I've learned about Golden Retrievers, I've only got experience between two breeds, the Goldens and the Cocker Spaniels. The Golden Retrievers, they tend to train easy, right? They're a big burden because they got dog hair everywhere and other associated big dog things, but they are easily trainable and they don't take long. Cocker Spaniels, oh my God, their brains, they're so stubborn. But I remember it took a lot longer to get her to train, but she eventually got to the point where she just followed you everywhere. She made sure that, you know, she would always check that you were in her view and things like that. But I think they're traditionally a hunting dog, so their main thing was to go and scout and then come back and report back to you type of thing.
I feel like I've seen Cocker Spaniels running upland hunts, but I could be wrong. I had Chesapeakes growing up, and my sister's got one now, so that's five that I've had experience with. And same thing, super smart dogs, just super stubborn. It takes a lot to break them, and then once you break them, they don't leave your side, and they're relatively obedient. My dog never really had training, so he's obedient enough, right? Like, I can, like Jaeger, like, I can literally just talk to him, and he knows what, for the most part, what I want him to do, but he's not going to roll over, he's not going to shake without a treat, he's not going to do anything crazy.
Yeah, I'm in a KFA desk, by the way. What you really want is the dog is not afraid, even if it does something bad, when you tell it to come. It's coming, you know, it's coming to you, you know, when you want it to, you know, get over here, you know, heal or whatever, that they're not afraid of you, of retaliation, like you're going to hit them or whatever. Otherwise, they'll run away. I mean, they'll still be disciplined, you know, you did something wrong type of thing. But the thing is their brains, these dogs, their brains, they don't realize what they did wrong. Like, they're always in the moment. You know, they're guided by their nose most of the time. And, like, if you bring them back to you and you hit them, like, they're not going to register that. You have to catch them doing the thing in the moment. Like, hey, stop that. You know, like, you're doing something bad. Like, get that trigger in their brain versus, you know, they already did it. They've already done the bad thing. It's like you can't punish them at that point. It's like at that point it's over with. But you want them to always feel safe that they can come back to you. And I think if you instill that in them, they will, you know, that's how you get a loyal dog. But, yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, my wife's back with the dog, so I better let you go. I want to see what's going on with it. So I'll listen out. So, KFA desk.
All right, man. Good talking to you. I'm almost home anyway here. So, hopefully everything went well and the vet bill wasn't too much. I'll catch up with you later. NADDF.
WADAP. KF8S, WADAP.
KF8S.
KF8S Fist, as you say. KF Fist.
Killer Fox 8 Squirrels.
What is going on?
Not much. Puppy had to go to the vet, so then focused on that a little bit, but she's okay. We just, we were concerned because we think she needs an antibiotic, but it's like the gland, I guess dogs have this gland by their butt. So, but she's got antibiotics just in case.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I won't rehash all that, because if you've heard all the story, and everybody else, all the other lurkers have heard all the story, I won't go over it again.
How'd the dog's MRI turn out?
Well, if dog needs an MRI, we're not doing that, man.
I heard there's a medical net out here. Everyone gets out here and talks about their ailments and their family's ailments.
Well, the worst you'll hear from me is about my dog. I won't tell you about my my personal issues. But you missed the lunch check-in net. Well, you were around for the lunch check-in net, and then it's the random topic of the day net, and you know, all that stuff.
Yep. Well, my meatball sub was pretty good. I gotta admit, he made it exactly the way I wanted it.
Very good. So, what is so great about the meatball sub? It's normal meatballs, and then what else do you put on it?
Spaghetti
sauce, I don't know, nothing special, but simple and it tastes good. I just am in the mood for one. Yeah. Not that easy to make at home. I didn't want pizza, I had pizza last night.
Yeah,
that's kind of like a loose rule for me. If I don't order anything out that I can make at home. If I can make it at home, I don't order it. I want to order stuff that I can't make.
Yeah, how is my audio? I don't have my 779 in the car. I'm just using a walkie-talkie today.
Seems all right. I mean, you sound like you're a little bit more distant compared to your other radio, but that's fine.
Roger. I don't know where the microphone is. Okay, how about here?
So what is the radio of the day? Which one are you using today?
RA79 is my work radio, so I just use this for the drive home tonight.
That sounds good. Is that because you can lower the power? Is that why you're using that one? And why aren't you using the UV26? I thought that was your favorite one.
No, this is my work radio. I didn't have a radio. I didn't have any radio with me, so I'm taking home my work radio just for tonight until I get my other system put in.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, so I've got a bunch of stuff coming on Saturday. Most of it's the antenna stuff that I want to put up. I don't think I'm going to have it early enough on Saturday to put it up on Saturday. It depends on when the mail comes. I'm hoping weather will be good on Sunday then. And as long as it's sunny, I don't care about temperature. As long as it's like dry and sunny, then I'll go and try to put it outside. But I'm anxious to see how that's going to work. If not, I can I could try it inside too. I can put it in the window and just try it out.
Yeah, I looked up all those antennas. They have ones that are dual band, and they have ones that have an SMA connector on the end of it. Some are
PL-259. Just wondering how they don't show it like unrolled. All they do is show it rolled up.
Yeah, if you go look up N9TAX, N9TAX Labs, I don't think N9TAX is actually doing them. I think he's just got a company now that's producing them. Like, he's got a group of people that are just, like, making, manufacturing for them or something. They sell a lot of them, I guess. Well, anyways, it's a couple years old video, but it's the guy showing the antenna. He was like showing the computer plots on the on the computer, and he was showing how it compares to a dipole and all this stuff, and how it's 360 degrees what's the other thing too? It's like a four degree takeoff angle. So it's really good for like repeaters. I don't know how well it would work for satellites, because it's, like I said, the donut of RF is like the best at like a 4 degree angle.
Well, you just tilt it for satellite use. Anyhow, I gotta run in the store here. I'll be back. WADAP.
KF8S, yep, could do that. Tilt it.
Pizza. I wanted to eat pizza today at lunch, but I forced myself not to. I don't know if you heard that earlier.
No, I was going over some paperwork, and I was somewhere on the road or talking to a coworker on the way somewhere. Right now, I'm just peeking it over Mount Clemens, waiting for the 7 o'clock net. Start making my way back home after that.
WADAP. Yeah, what net is that again?
It's the ArpSnet. That I got involved with that with Wally and Paul and a couple other operators.
Garage. Okay. Yep. I got some new radio equipment coming today. Some new antennas. I finally busted my magnum out after 25 years. I accidentally ripped the coax out of it, and it's hermetically sealed, so I have to destroy it to get it open. So I had to break down and buy a new magnet. Just using the HT right now today.
I've done that on previous antennas. Not really break the cable, under the magnet, but kept slamming it in the door, and I kind of cut it to pieces.
Yeah, that could happen. Like I said, this was 25 years old. If not older, might even be, I think it was about 8 years old. I'm surprised they still make them, rather. Hopefully it's the same quality.
Well, we will find out when you put it on top of your vehicle.
Yeah, I'll give it the high-speed test this weekend. Hopefully it won't flop off the roof.
That's all I have is mag mounts. The other one that's falling apart is the one for my scanner, but the tram and the Comet are doing just fine right now.
Yeah, I have a couple of the Nagoya UT-72s for backups. I got one at the house, one at the cottage. But I didn't want to hook that up and then take it out the very next day because I got the antenna DX Engineering two-day free shipping. So, yeah, I didn't want to route all that and then have to take it out the very next day. So, we will see if it's as good as the original one. And I got another mobile antenna. So I'll have something besides the 2x4 to screw on there.
Yeah, I gotta make a couple of radio payments. When I get done doing that, then I'll start looking at a 2x4 or something to put on the top here. See if I can make up some type of bracket, get an NMO mount for it, and mount the bracket onto my ladder rack so it stays put.
Yep, I have two 2x4s, but they're both UHF mount, because that's the magnets I've had. So, I don't know, it really doesn't matter. It's just what I started out with 28 years ago, so. Should be good. Anywho, I am home, so good luck on your neck tonight. And I got some work to do here, so. I will catch you later. This is W8DAP.
Seven is great, and always make sure that both poles keep close for you. Knock you on the flip, KCKGO.
This is KE8WUO.
Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu, radio check.
KF8, ATC monitoring.
KF8, DGZ, South Lion, and if I can hit that repeater, back to you.
I did hear you say South Lion, and I didn't get it all. A little staticky coming through. I'm also on my cell phone here. Over.
Roger, roger. I'll try it again. Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu, Joe in South Lion. I'm on 50 watts. But I might be pretty far away, so I'm not sure if I'm coming through. KF8DGZ.
Okay, I did get that that time, Joe. South Lion. Actually, I'm sitting down here in Florida at the moment. Lucius, Florida. From Michigan, originally from Michigan. But I just tried out the Echo Link to see if anybody was up there. The name's Tim, over.
Hey Tim, yeah, no, I'm in South Lyon. This is Joe. So I'm a little ways away from that repeater. I'm glad I could hit it. I hope that I sound okay. Yeah, down in Florida. I've got my father lives in Tampa, actually Holiday, Florida. So I make it down there quite a bit. Where are you at in Florida approximately? KFA-EGZ, back to you.
I'm in St. Lucius, Florida. I'm only down here for 3 or 4 days visiting the daughter. So nice and warm down here. We got about 80 degrees. so far. Nice warm. But, originally from Michigan, I could say. I'm about 25 miles to the east of Detroit. Normally, that's where I live, Clinton Township. Not sure if you know what that is, but yeah, just down there visiting.
Well, you will be glad to know that you missed about an inch and a half of snow this morning. It didn't stick to the roads, but I got up, I got in the car about 5:30 this morning and saw an inch and a half of snow in my car. And it was snowing all the way into work this morning, but none of it stuck. So it was like 32, 33 degrees and light snow here in Michigan, which April 10th, that's getting pretty late in the year. Still see snowflakes, so be glad you're down in Florida. KFAEDZ, back to you.
Yeah, my mom sent me some pictures this morning to all the snow. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm away from that. I can't wait till it gets warm. Hopefully warmer when I get back home, I hope. I'm going to try to get that motorcycle out. I like to ride, but that Michigan weather is kind of unpredictable. You have a warm day, next day it's snowing, and warm again, and cool, and warm, and you get all the rain. Well, eventually, I guess the warm weather will come and go. Times of flying, that's for sure. So kind of try to enjoy most of it if I can.
Yeah, hopefully when you come back here, it'll be warm. It'll warm up a little bit. But, yeah, it's looking like next week it's going to be in the 40s, maybe low 50s. So spring is taking its time to make its way to Michigan here. I'm not sure I would be in Florida. Yeah, I used to ride. I still keep my motorcycle license current, but I have not owned a bike in about 25 years, and I don't think my wife will let me get on one again. Back to you if you're still there. KFAEDZ.
Oh, yeah. I like to ride that bike for years. I don't get the ride time that I would love to have to get out there. But you can always get another one. Just had it parked in the garage when she's gone away one day and said, look what I got when she gets home. It'll get over it. It'll be all right. You can ride again.
The bike, if I did buy a bike again right now, I would get the Honda African Twin. It's like a 700cc on-road, off-road. We used to call them dual force. God, what a great bike that is. Because I would like to get out on some dirt roads and some trails and, take it out on the expressway too. But that's the kind of bike I would probably get. Just so I could have some fun on some dirt roads and take it at highway speeds and do some long distance cruising too. But what kind of bike you got back here in Michigan? Back to you, KFAEDZ.
Yeah, I have the Ultra Classic. I get to ride it as much as I want to. I added a lot of extra stuff to the bike. It's a money machine. But that never ends. I guess when you own a Harley, you can put so much stuff on it or do so much to it. But, yeah, it's an awesome bike, but I think I know what the bike you're talking about, that Honda with the double forks in the front. Yes, I feared that at off-road stuff. The body's a little older now, so I try to stay on the pavement as much as possible, just in case that off-road puts a little more risk factor into the ride there. Copy?
Yeah, I hear that. I grew up on dirt bikes, 125, 250s, Yamahas mostly, up north. And my kidneys hurt just thinking about spending a day on one of those. But I've always been partial to trail bikes and dirt bikes and things like that. I love Harleys. I've never owned one, but I do like them a lot. But I don't know, there's something about
just, I know they're so heavy and big, and when you kind of grew up riding dirt bikes and everything's real light, it's just a different style of riding. But I always loved them. I lived in Wisconsin for a while, and of course, you know, there's Harleys everywhere there, so. But maybe one of these days I'll get another bike. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But, yeah, the Harleys are fun. Are you in any kind of clubs up here, or just independent Harley guys? Thank you.
No, I'm not in the no clubs. I tried to join a club. Actually, it was the UAW club because I work for the UAW. I work at Chrysler. I tried to join one of their clubs. That's probably been about 8-10 years now, but at the time I didn't have a Harley. I had the Yamaha V-Star 1300 Touring, but they wouldn't let me join because I didn't have an American-made bike. So that was kind of depressing. And they're supposed to be riding a lot of charity rides and that kind of stuff. Other than that, I said, okay, I guess they don't want me on their team. Now that I got a Harley, I don't need to be on their team. I can ride without them. There's plenty of riders out there you can join or take rides. Or you go on the internet, there's always some kind of clubs or something doing something. But no, I don't belong to the club. But I like to ride. Whoever wants to ride, I'm in.
Yeah, my best friend growing up as a kid, he lives in Jacksonville, Florida now. He's only ridden Harley his whole life. He's covered in tattoos. I'm trying to see on his Facebook page what club he belongs to, but it doesn't look like he talks about it very much on his Facebook page, which club he's in. I don't think he's a one percenter, but I think it's one of those clubs that are kind of close to that. But, yeah, when we were little kids, we used to dream about getting Harleys and creating a gang, a biker gang, and he actually went off and really did it. I went off to college and didn't do it. But anyways, yeah, I love to ride. I get the itch. So, well, anyways, I got to get going here at dinner. I appreciate nice chat, and thank you for confirming for me that I can hold a conversation on RF with that repeater. Enjoy the rest of the time down there in Florida, and have a safe trip back. With that, I'll say 73. I'll be clear, and I'll hear you for one more on the way out. KFA-TGV.
Okay, Joe, it was really nice talking to you. I'm glad you came back to me. I don't have a pen or nothing to log your call sign, and I'm really bad with trying to remember things, but hopefully we talk again soon. I'm usually on this. I have this frequencies on my two mobiles and my base station at home, so I'm usually out there scanning the band. But if you hear me out there, definitely give a shout back. Appreciate the QSO 73. This is KF8 ATC. It'll be clear for now.
KF8BPA. KF8BPA test.
So is there a station calling? It's getting a little interference, I'm not sure. KF8ATC, moderator.
KF8ATS, Alpha, Tango, Sierra.
Yeah, go ahead, I got a little bit of static on my end for some reason. But, go ahead, KF8ATC.
ATC, Alpha, Tango, Charlie. Okay, KF8, Bravo, Papa, Alpha here. KF8, Bravo, Papa, Alpha. Vladimir, my name is, and I'm located in Southfield, Michigan. Over.
Okay, I copy that. I didn't get all the call sign here. I don't know, for some reason, I'm on my cell phone, and I'm getting a little bit of static here, so it could be my signal. I'm a little bit away from the radio towers here. Copy?
Yes, your signal is perfect here. I use Echo Link myself, but not now. Now I'm on radio, and I'm running 25 watts through the mobile antenna. I'm not in the vehicle now, but the antenna is mobile. So that's my situation. And the repeater is pretty far from me, some more than 10 miles, I guess. Okay, thank you very much, sir, and talk to you later. 73, enjoy Florida weather, whichever it is. KF8 ATC, KF8 BPA, over.
All right, I appreciate the comeback. I'll be back in reality on Tuesday and back to the cool weather. Well, hopefully it's a little warmer when I get back. But appreciate the contact, 73s. Have yourself a fine evening. KF8 ATC, clear for now.
Thank you. 73, KF8, BPA, clear.
KF8 AYL.